Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel. Hosea was one of the most tender-hearted of the Hebrew prophets. Out of his own personal tragedy, he spoke to Israel of her unfaithfulness and of God's love. Yet Hosea must proclaim payday for the nation of Israel. He declares, "The days of recompense are come." A.J. Overton gives on today's broadcast the third message on the prophecy of Hosea. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. These words from God to Israel found communication through the lips and the heart of the prophet Hosea. Through his own personal painful experiences, the prophet Hosea identified with God's sorrow over the sinfulness and unfaithfulness of his people Israel. The prophet's loyal love for his disloyal spouse, Gomer, pictured the undying love of God for his people. For Israel's unfaithfulness in no way lessened the faithfulness of God. The nation with its leadership stood guilty before God. Even though God desired to heal and to redeem them, they continued arrogantly on in their sins and idolatry. Beginning with chapter 4, the prophecy of Hosea makes no further references to Gomer or to the children. The message, however, that Hosea's family life conveys forms the background of all that now follows. Israel's sin is pictured as spiritual harlotry, though undoubtedly a literal reference is involved also. God presents through his prophet in forensic or legal terms, his indictment of Israel. The covenant-keeping God of Israel becomes both the prosecuting attorney and the judge. At the very outset of the divine lawsuit, the strong, attention-getting announcement arrests Israel. Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites. It is repeated again as the subjects of the indictment are named. Hear this, you priests. Pay attention, you Israelites. Listen, O royal house. The accusations are general and negative, as well as specific and positive. The qualities clearly expected of a covenant people are lacking. The prophet declares, "There is no truth or goodness or knowledge of God in the land." With the dissipation of truth, or the loss of faithfulness, no basis for mutual trust and confidence remains. Transactions contain ulterior and devious designs. Suspicion and distrust abound throughout the society. With the absence of goodness or loyalty, there is no spirit of goodwill or warmth of feeling. This is all because of the fundamental condition of no knowledge of God in the land. Mere academic acquaintance of the law and the proclamations of the prophets are not sufficient. There must be a vital, life-transforming experience with God. The specific and positive charges that now appear present a tragic list of broken commandments. The list is staggering: swearing, lying, killing, stealing, committing adultery. These terrible charges form the unavoidable consequence of the rebellion against God's covenant. You have rejected knowledge, the prophet cries out. The effect throughout the land is given. They employ violence so that bloodshed follows bloodshed. Is it any wonder that God laments, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge"? The quenching of the knowledge of God always results in a violent condition throughout any nation. The continued growth today of such permissive and violent societies, with their constant increase of crimes in the streets, makes the message of the prophet Hosea read like the headlines of a modern newspaper. Do not the ruling against prayer and reading of the Bible in public institutions assist in the suppression of the knowledge of God? We are tempted to react with shock and condemnation against the disgusting assortment of the sins of an ancient society while excusing ourselves. No nation ever plans to collapse from spiritual and moral decay. How do such sins gain so great a foothold in a nation? Someone has stated, "It began with just a toehold." While the entire population of ancient Israel is charged with transgression, the prophet Hosea does not rest the matter there. He places a more definite blame and responsibility upon the leadership, and especially the religious leadership. God declares through Hosea, "The prophets cause you to stumble. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children. The more the priests increase, and the more they sinned against me. They exchange their glory for something disgraceful. They feed on the sins of my people and relish their wickedness, and it will be like people, like priests." Now this stern indictment is that the priests have failed to instruct the people in the word of God. Thus the people are destroyed. Also, the priests had turned the sin offering commanded by Moses into an idolatrous practice. Not only so, the priests actually had become guilty of urging the people into sin, since their livelihood came from these offerings brought by the people. The more the people sinned, the more the priests prospered. Hosea declares that the consequences of such priestly corruption resulted in the degeneration of the worship of Israel's covenant-keeping God. Their drink offerings became occasions for drunkenness. Their young women engaged in pagan fertility rituals. The blame, however, is placed upon the men who consorted with them. God possesses no double standard relating to the conduct of men and women. Hosea declares a people without understanding will come to ruin. Hosea speaks in further graphic terms. The Israelites are stubborn, like a stubborn heifer. Their rulers dearly love shameful ways. A whirlwind will sweep them away. Hosea then sends a warning to the southern kingdom of Judah. Let not Judah become guilty. Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. God speaks to the prophet Hosea to the very heart of the matter when he declares, "I desired mercy and not sacrifice." The great rabbi from Tarsus, who became the apostle Paul, warns us not to be as those having a form of godliness but denying its power. The prophet Hosea continues in chapters 5 through 10 to bring Israel's sins before her. He reminds them constantly of God's knowledge of their deplorable and deceitful condition. He tells of God's dismay concerning them. He exposes their shallow repentance, their forgetfulness of their Maker, and fickleness in the international relationships of that day. God's holiness and God's love is brought before them. Several picturesque statements describe Israel's conduct. Hosea declares, "Ephraim is a cake not turned." In this appropriate metaphor, the prophet likens Israel as a flat cake of bread, badly mixed and cooked only on one side. Such food is indigestible and without value. Placed strategically among the nations, Israel was failing to fulfill her appointed destiny. She was missing her opportunity. Any repentance Israel claimed was also insincere and insufficient. The Lord declared, "They have not cried unto me with their heart. They return, but not to the Most High." Israel must now learn that God is a God of justice. He rules a moral universe where sin's consequences must be paid. Hosea declares God's message to Israel. "They have sown the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind." The prophet proclaims, "Israel hath forgotten her Maker. The days of recompense are come. They shall be wanderers among the nations." He announces, however, it is time to seek the Lord. This call to seek the Lord reminds us that the door of God's mercy yet stands wide open to all who would return to Him. It has never shut, but it will be so someday. The Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ, came centuries later to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. In the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, he read these words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance, to set at liberty, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He ceased reading in the middle of a sentence with those words, "the acceptable year of the Lord." The rest of the sentence reads, "the day of vengeance of our God." Yes, it is time to seek the Lord. Yeshua HaMashiach declares, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." Will you trust Him?
And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.